WGN is live in Iowa, and the race to decide who will lead the greatest nation on earth is on. Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
We're live in Des Moines. It's caucus day. You can smell it in the air, can't you? That is nothing like a fresh caucus. Chuck Todd joins us, NBC political director. Frankly, he's the talent. He's the brains. Good morning, Chuck. How are you?
Good morning. I'm just here to make WGN great again. Let's go.
Yes, I thought it was going really
remember
well.
Remember what the G is for. This is very Trumpian, right? The G, world's greatest newspaper. Let's go, right? Trump would love it.
I really thought we were doing well. You know, the ratings are good. We're number one. But, you know, you could be right. We could be better. We need hats.
Always. We need hats. That's right.
Where are you right now?
Right now I am at a location called West End Salvage. This is where I did meet the press yesterday.
Yeah, with the custom-made furniture.
It is. This. First of all, don't come down here unless you bring some money. It's really cool. It's both actual vintage furniture and then stuff that's made to look at. It's a phenomenal place.
And is that where you're doing today's show today?
Stuff. That's exactly right. It's our sort of NBC little headquarters for Des Moines.
I know you, because I saw the show yesterday, and I know you've been running around for a few days talking to locals, mm-hmm. and I think the thing that folks in Chicago and around the country are listening, and I mentioned this top of the show, it's no different than when you vote, except you add an hour and a half or 2 hours or 3 hours of commitment, and now you get a pretty good explanation about why the turnout is not maybe what you would expect it to be, and big turnout is the key today, right?
No, it is, and it's, you know, it's about who's committed, right? It's about when people will criticize Iowa shouldn't have such an outsized role, but I appreciate what Iowa forces candidates to do, right? You find out, you know, who's got an ability to create a following, and frankly, if you're vying to be the head of your political party, well, this is a good way to find out, you know, do you have the ability to lead? Do you have the ability to get people to sit in a community center and listen to speeches before you get to vote? The Republican side's a little simpler. You do actually get to cast a secret ballot. The real commitment is what the Democrats do,
right?
Where, you know, you publicly have to say who you're for, which is, you know, that's uncomfortable to some people. That's why a lot of people don't show up. They feel this. You know, a lot of people want to keep their vote to themselves. Because of how, you know, controversial talking politics could be. So that makes it that much more. So that's why I find it an interesting test, because you're trying to show that you can lead people and make people proud to support you. That, to me, is step one to becoming the leader of a political party.
And speaking of whether or not you've got the right stuff, you were tough on Ted Cruz yesterday and asked him all the right questions. And he's thin-skinned in a different way than Trump. If you look at Trump the wrong way, he'll suddenly hate everyone, including your own mother. But
the next day he wants to win your, he wants to get you back.
Like, yeah, he does.
He would trash you, but I know you want to be a good guy, or I know, you know, he has this incessant need to make you like him. Cruz doesn't have that incessant need.
Well, you know, what's funny is I think it was the Atlantic. There was a piece this weekend where they talked to Harvard. They talked to, I think, Oxford and Cambridge and some of the world's leading psychoanalysts who all said, oh yeah, Trump, textbook narcissist, this close to a psychopath. And it's exactly what you were describing. He hates you 1 minute and then he wants you back the next. He's your crazy high school girlfriend.
No, he's well, all right. I somehow the NBC standards people won't want me signing onto that.
But I took you down the road though, didn't I?
You really did. You know, this is always the danger with you, Steve. I tease. But no, it's true. He is. And I think people have this attachment to Trump that's the same way. You're like, oh man, he's a bad boy. I don't know if I want to bring him home again. I can't kick the addiction. I got to go out one more time, because one thing about him, you always have an eventful time. It's always a good time.
Well,
it's always an event.
And to get back to the Ted Cruz piece, because I thought your questions are great for Ted Cruz, he seems more sensitive. Because Trump certainly got in his head with the birther stuff.
He did.
And you asked him some very simple questions, but direct questions yesterday about basically, are you tough enough to do this?
Well, I have to say that it was funny. It was just sort of something that hit me as we're going through all these different questions. Like, wow, can this guy take a punch? And, you know, Trump knocked him silly for a while. But that's, I'll have to say, if Cruz does pull this out tonight, I do think that actually tells us something about him. That, you know what, he can take a punch, and he will be the first guy in this field to have taken a Trump punch and survived. That's not an insignificant development if that's the result tonight. And I can tell you the Cruz people are amazingly confident about their chances tonight. I admire that, because so many times, listen to what Marco Rubio said to me yesterday, right? Well, what do you have to do here? Well, we have to do well, whatever you guys think. It's like, no, what do you have to do? You talk to the Cruz people, they know they have to win. Right. They know they're not going to be the nominee without winning Iowa. And so they make no bones about it. You know, at that point, you're like, well, at least good for them for being self-aware and for not trying to BS us on the record.
I know we only got a couple minutes here, but I want to get Pat Brady. And Pat Brady, former RNC director of Illinois, but really a decent, well-grounded human being who has some opinions on
this
place.
Knows his reputation well. Yeah, knows reputation
well. Yeah, I know you know Pat. Yeah.
Right. All right, Chuck, I'm putting you on the spot. You are the smartest guy in the room. What is going to happen tonight?
Look, I'm skeptical that we're going to see a surge in turnout. All right? I have not. There's no – we haven't seen a massive increase in voter registration. We haven't seen a massive increase in first-time caucus goers, even when you start looking at them in the polls. So I am skeptical of that we're going to see this surge statistically. And yet, all this money that's been spent here, all this energy, all this national attention, and part of me thinks, why aren't we going to see a surge, at least in turnout on the Republican side? So, look, I think – Cruz's biggest problem is Ben Carson. Ben Carson has a devoted 10% following, and if Carson really is at 10 at the poll show, then I think Cruz cannot win.
And it's supposed to snow up that part of the state.
Right?
Out. I'm sorry.
What's that?
It's supposed to snow up in that part of the state today. Isn't
it? Yeah, the conservative western part of the state.
When's it start? Look, western Iowa snow, great for Ted Cruz. Okay? Great for Ted Cruz. You know, I sort of joked with the Cruz campaign. I said, you know, if you're as evangelical as you say, and you're as close to God as you say, then you can get this snowstorm to come a little bit sooner. You know, let's move Mother Nature here for you, right? You know, nobody would benefit more from a snowstorm than Cruz, because his folks are, I think, are the most devoted. But I do think his biggest obstacle is the fact that there are 14% of the evangelical vote being split up between Carson, Huckabee, and Santorum. He can't afford to lose that much and overtake Trump. On the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton has – her operation is Obama's 08 operation. It's not hers, thankfully for her. But it's a pretty – I think that they are going to do things to Sanders tonight that's going to shell-shock them. The way the Democratic system works, it's a little bit different. It's not secret ballot.
Right.
And there's a lot of gamesmanship. So there are ways Clinton may help O'Malley. Clinton supporters may caucus for O'Malley in some places as a way to deny Sanders precinct-level delegates. And people are probably wondering, well, how does that work? Pat, I'm sure you're aware.
Yeah, we're from Chicago. We know how that works.
Yeah, you know how that works. Well, there's that. Okay, I wouldn't go there. But, yes, there's a way to game the system. Obama did this to Hillary 8 years ago. Obama, you know, more people came out to support Clinton in 08 than John Edwards. But Obama orchestrated things right in some places where he had plenty of supporters to win the delegates he needed. So he sent some of his people to help Edwards as a way to make sure to deny Clinton delegates. So I know it's a little my point is, I think the Sanders folks have no idea what's coming. More people may come out to support Sanders tonight, and yet Clinton can walk away with a majority of the delegates.
I heard the Little Rock people in town, too. Is that true? Some of the old guard?
Oh, some of them are. By the way, that is something else to keep an eye on. If Clinton loses tonight, you're going to see a massive shakeup in her campaign.
Blowing out some of the staff.
They're going to blame the staff when ultimately, as someone who's a defender of the staff says, if she loses tonight, it's still on her because she still hasn't figured out a good explanation on emails.
It's the world's largest, longest plane ride from here to Manchester.
It would not be good.
It can be, yes.
And it was a bad email weekend. We'll let you go on this, Chuck. You know, the thing that we can't quantify, and the people of Iowa are no different than the rest of the country, and that's the apathy and the disgust with the process, and the vast majority of Americans going, it's not fixable. And I got a life. I got kids that got to go do this tonight. I got kids that got to do that. The people that won't show up tonight just because they don't believe they can make a difference, and there's Iowans that feel the same way as the rest of the country in that regard, which is a shame.
No, there is. I mean, you know, look, you wish – if this were the be-all, end-all of the process, I would argue, yes, we got to figure out another way. But, you know, when you take Iowa collectively, I actually think if we could make Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada, these four states, I actually think we should hold all these contests on the same day.
Yeah.
Right. Rather, so that there isn't one state having undue influence, but at the same time, the unique aspects of each state that you that provide it to just sort of create a candidate that you need to lead your party. Organization in Iowa, appealing to independents in New Hampshire, knowing how to court your political base in a place like South Carolina, dealing with a diverse electorate like Nevada. If you had it all on the same day, it would truly be a test of candidates to find out, boy, do they have everything that it takes to be the leader of one of the two major parties. So I think that would help people feel more comfortable about the role Iowa plays. But Steve, for your purposes, if you want to blow up the system, then you want Sanders and you want the high turnout and you want Sanders and Trump, because those two would be the way to blow up the two parties and get them to reboot themselves.
In my perfect world, we're all at the conventions later this summer and it's a complete melee. It's just everything's up for grabs because
the journalists in me would love it. It's the only story I feel like I haven't covered in politics for like 25 years.
I'll bet.
Please give me a contested convention.
And again, don't lose sight, folks. The Democrats are just as tight as the Republicans, if not tighter. So we'll see what the Clinton campaign can pull off by way of the strategy Chuck was talking about. Always appreciate it, Chuck. I know you got to go to TV.
All right, Steve and Pat. Pleasure to talk to you, sir.
You too. Thanks, Chuck.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
Faithfully execute the office of President.
President.
President of the United States.
The United States.
So help me God.
Nobody covers 2016. The candidates. The election, the decision. Like 720 WGN. Back to the Steve Cochran Show live from the Iowa caucuses.
We are live in Des Moines, and the caucuses start tonight at 7. And joining us now is Illinois State Senator Mike Connolly, who's been in town for a few days and I'm sure back and forth from Iowa regularly, as you help the Marco Rubio campaign. What's your official title?
I guess I'm officially the co-chair with our friend Darren LaHood, a congressman from Peoria. I guess I was the first one to contact the Rubio campaign way, way back when, and it kind of organically grew, and I got a call and said, by the way, you're now the chairman, and that's how it happened.
You raise your hand, you're in.
Yep, congratulations, you just volunteered.
Yes.
Now, as you know, WGN has a huge presence in Iowa, and particularly in eastern Iowa, but well over to central Iowa, and certainly here as well. So for the people listening in Iowa, give me a Rubio pitch.
The Rubio pitch, I like to tell the story on New Year's Eve. I mean, Pat and I know all about the petition process in Illinois. It's laborious, and that's being kind.
Oh, no, it's so clean. It's so clean and never challenged.
It's laborious. And I was in the town of Durand, Illinois, which is, for Pat Brady, it's a driver and a pitching wedge from Wisconsin.
Not
for guys like us, it's a driver three wood. Yeah. And we're at a bar with a group of us getting petitions, and we're having lunch. And half the bar were wearing Bears stuff. The other was Packers stuff. And I said, don't circulate here. This just isn't the right place to do it. And someone said, no, I'm going to try. And a guy went up and said, hey, would you sign this for Marco Rubio? And he says, well, tell me why. And he goes, well, that's Senator Connolly there. He's the chairman of the campaign. He can answer it. And I did my best to say, okay, what do I tell this guy who's just been out hunting and he's got a Packer thing on? And I said, it's real simple. Hillary Clinton will be on the dais for the Democratic Party. Marco Rubio, the son of a bartender and hotel maid who's just recently finished paying off his student loans, is the kind of person who can get to the middle-class independent voter. He's going to have a stark contrast from Hillary Clinton, who's made, what, $200 million since they left the White House broke. So there's a stark contrast there. Second, millennials. Millennials, there are more millennials today than there are baby boomers.
Yeah.
I have three of them. How do I know they were fired up about Marco Rubio? I don't tweet. I don't have the Ron Sandak disease, so I don't tweet much. And when the message went out that I was the chairman, I received a number of text messages from my children, their friends, and I was responding to them saying, why are you guys so into Rubio? We listen to his podcasts. He's from middle-class roots. He understands what average Americans are going through. And these are millennials. So I think that to make the pitch for the Republican Party, I think Marco Rubio is, and he's from a battleground state, for heaven's sake.
Well,
we have to win Florida.
There is, I think, no question amongst people who swim in these waters regularly that if he's not the most electable, I'm not sure who is. Having said that, he's got to pass the can you do the job test. So what about the argument that he's got no more experience quantitatively than Barack Obama had when he got the job? and the Republicans use that as an argument against Obama.
Well, actually, Marco Rubio served in the state legislature as the Speaker of the House of one of the largest states in the union. That takes some kind of political skill and acumen to be able to work within your caucus. So that's one thing. Secondarily, he's spot on the issues. I've been in any number of small group settings where he's going from Sarbanes-Oxley to the Alawite sheikh in northern Syria who he has spoken to about the things that need to be done to get rid of ISIS. So I've seen it firsthand, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention I was at an event in Naperville, and Trey Gowdy was speaking for my friend Peter Roskam. And unsolicited, long before the endorsement, Trey Gowdy said, no one articulates conservative Republican positions better and more inclusively and in a positive way than my friend Marco Rubio from Florida, which of course prompted people to turn and look at me, and I was shaking my hand saying,
I didn't write it.
I didn't do it.
I didn't write it.
I didn't do it.
That's him.
I didn't do it. And my goodness, it would be nice if the entire country were conservative Republicans. I have news for people. They're not. We have to get that independent voter to come our way.
You're preaching to the choir here. I mean, that's my constant sermon. My sermon is, you're not the president of the Democrats. You're not the president of the Republicans. You're the president of the United States. And while this primary process, extended primary process, plays out, you'll get the far right and the far left. But the difference tonight, Pat Brady, is how many of those softer lefties and softer righties will turn up to vote, because if there's a large turnout, that could change everything.
Well, what maybe the question is this to you guys. What do you define as a win for Marco Rubio tonight?
Yeah, have you got a number in your head?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I just got a text from somebody of some news article that says just this morning that, you know, it's a dead heat between the three. I don't know what. To me, you listen to the pundits, you listen to this and that. I don't trust polls. Rick Santorum was in sixth place 4 years ago. I think Marco Rubio, I think at the end of today, there will be three candidates for the Republican nomination: Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, and Marco Rubio. And we head to New Hampshire, South Carolina, Illinois, New York, and Florida with the decision. Which of these three do you want to be your standard bearer to defeat Hillary Clinton and prevent Barack Obama from becoming a Supreme Court justice?
In Illinois, we will have, at least from this standpoint or this far out, it appears to be a two-party process that will matter in the primary, and that's good for all of us.
I agree. I at the end of the day, I hope getting to Illinois, I'll say this. I've got 11 members of the General Assembly coming today to Iowa, some driving as far as 4 or 5 hours to speak on Marco Rubio's behalf. And I'll put my team in Illinois up against any of the other candidates. And these are young conservatives, Southern Illinois, suburban Republicans.
Hey, your list here. You got Jason Berrickman from downstate. I mean, you got a very diverse Murphy, Morrison, Eunice, Fortner, Wheeler, Davidsmeyer, Anthony, County, you, Dale Ryder, Matt. That's a pretty diverse section of the Republican Party in Illinois.
We do. We have people from you know, I guess you from different parts of the state, and also you know, Matt Murphy's the deputy leader of our caucus, and so I'm excited about it. It's, you know, we were with Senator Rubio last week in Chicago, and he said they fully intend that Illinois is going to be a major player. March 15th is going to be huge.
So you feel good about tonight?
I do.
All right, I'm not going to let you go without this. How do you feel about Springfield?
You know, it's sad when I met with Leigh Volkmer, who's a state senator from Wisconsin, and another state senator, Jack Whitmer from Iowa. And when they talk about being in the majority and having budgets done and being done by
you
April.
You mean the regular stuff that you're supposed to do?
It's somewhat depressing, but I keep reminding them we have a Republican governor. Governor Rauner is there, and he's steadfast in his convictions, but he's ready to work something out. I hope... Yeah, I hope we can get something
any
done this
cracks session. In the Republican caucus in Illinois for support for Rauner? Anybody hedging on that?
Well, I don't know. I guess you could say Sam McCann in Southern Illinois went against the governor. But it's the governor. We all know where we have to go as a party and as a state.
You support his push for change.
I think most of the state of Illinois does.
What's the president's impact going to be coming in here next week to address you guys?
Well, it's interesting. If he takes the fair map and redistricting reform and term limits, I think you're going to see the Republican side of the aisle jumping up and down throughout his speech.
It's really rather awkward for Madigan and company because he just made that a point of his own speech to say we need redistricting and we need two or three things that are on the Rauner agenda, and then he's coming back to Springfield. It's a little awkward. In other words, I'm not sure Madigan and company are that wild about the president.
I don't know. I still don't know the calculation behind all this, but somebody's going to explain it to me, I guess, next week.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
The Marco Rubio candidacy gets a good test tonight. Obviously, he's going to be a player through the long game, but certainly you want a strong finish tonight. You'd love an upset.
Oh, we'd love that, and, you know, we're intending to do that. And you know, I've talked to all of the 11 folks coming over from Illinois, and I said, look, the locals here have said, because I asked them, are you going to be upset that so many Illinoisans are here? They said, no, we actually, you know, we really respect that you come to our state and show that type of commitment. And
they did it for Obama last time. Busloads of people.
That's kind of what we plan to do, and we have a number of non-General Assembly people that are coming as well. Bobby Schilling, a retired congressman, will be in the Quad Cities area where he represented. So we're in to win.
You better be. Yeah. Hey, otherwise, you're just hanging around Des Moines with me.
FYI, Cochran's a lot better golfer than I am and hits it a lot.
Next time you come in here with an analogy, let's get some golf analogy right. MarcoRubio.com, is that the website you want to send folks to?
It is, Steve.
All right, nice to see you. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
We'll take a break, come back, get your news in a couple of minutes. And coming up after the top of the hour, Matt Strawn, the former RNC chair for Iowa, who knows everybody in the state and has something on all of them. We'll talk to him in a second at 720 WGN.
WGN is live in Iowa, and the race to decide who will lead the greatest nation on earth is on. Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Matt Strawn's here. We are live in Des Moines with our friends from ABC News Radio. And Rokan and Anna will do the Rokan Show this afternoon, and then we're back here tomorrow morning as well. Matt Strawn's here, former RNC chair. Matt, is this like Christmas Day to you, or is this a sense of relief that it's almost over? What's your emotions?
Well, it's awesome, and I'm glad to see that the work release program is going swimmingly in Illinois.
It is for
me.
You're
able to cross the border and come visit us.
Don't say anything. We're not supposed to be here.
Yeah. Well, Pat's got the ankle bracelet on, but it's got a long range.
Crossing that river.
Well, the problem with the Christmas analogy is I don't know what's under the tree yet.
Right.
Let's wait and see where the dust settles, whether it's a good thing or not.
So tonight we're going to attend a couple of the caucuses, but the one we're going to in particular is in what town, Pat?
Ankeny.
And Ankeny's how far away?
Matt's
I was looking at Brady. Ankeny's about 25 minutes from downtown Des Moines. It's a northern suburb between Des Moines and Ames.
All right, so we've talked about the Republican versus the process for the Democrats as well. Because the Republican process is a little more straightforward, wouldn't you expect a higher turnout caucus to caucus? Because the percentages seem to be even, or depending on the candidates, the Democrats may be a little higher.
You know, it's interesting with the Democrat process, because it's so labor intensive,
right?
With the viability thresholds across the state, it requires more organization, more bodies on the ground. So because of that, that's why they have historically had higher turnout than us. They actually have more staff on the ground working to push, pull, prod than Republicans have. And ours, you know, of course, as we've talked about, it's just a simple secret ballot. Not even a ballot. It's a blank slip of paper that you can write a name on. And, of course, I have told the authorities in Ankeny's 13th precinct to make sure that Brady is properly sequestered when the vote. I know how you Illinois guys like to vote.
Right.
Well, we're going to be there. Yeah, we're going to be there.
So we can't vote then. That's what you're trying to tell us?
Yeah.
We can't vote? Okay. All right, if you say so.
Says who? Yeah, we'll wait and see.
As far as talking to the folks who are there at a caucus, we love Iowans, obviously. And we'll be nice to all of them. I don't want you to worry.
Well, and it's
do they have some sort of radar to detect Chicagoans when they're in the middle of that room?
Well, we'll find out tonight.
I guess we will. What is your sense of this? You've done this many times. We've talked again about how all the conventions have been broken. Trump has stayed in Iowa one night. He's a hobby Christian. On the other side, Bernie Sanders has no religious affiliation whatsoever. Not that it's all about official religion, but that's a piece of the story. Is this a biggest surprise to you as it is to the rest of us?
It is, and you know, we could still be surprised in the next 12 hours. Let's see what happens once Iowans actually show up to caucus. Even this weekend, I was coming back from taking my fifth grader to basketball. A neighbor stops me and says, hey, are we going to stop him? And this is a neighbor that I don't normally talk politics with. I kind of, well, what are we talking about? Well, Trump. And then he explained he and his wife, for the first time ever, are going to caucus. And in his words, said, I just want to make sure there's at least two more votes against him. So I was blown away. Now, that could be an outlier, but, you know, there's the passions on both sides of the Trump phenomenon are running hot right now, and I think this thing's going to be a nail-biter. And as we've talked about in the past, you know, the indicator to watch is turnout. The higher that goes, the more likely Trump has remade the electorate, where it's kind of diffused the support of the traditional evangelical Christian conservatives.
This is your town. This is your state. Is it true that Iowans decide late on caucus day?
Traditionally, they do. Your traditional Iowa caucus goers. Interestingly enough, though, most of Trump's support is pretty well locked in. He had the highest number of voters who were definitely going to caucus for him with 70% in the Iowa poll this weekend. And there's a little more play in the Rubio and Cruz voters, which the buzz around town last night at the watering holes and at the restaurants downtown was a little bit more wind in Rubio's sails. So that could be one of your surprises coming into tonight.
Pat?
Okay, after Cochran and I get done disrupting this event.
After we're kicked out of the caucus today.
Occupy Ankeny.
Yeah, exactly. What is going to happen? Give us the blow-by-blow how this goes down.
Yeah, so once you arrive at the caucus site at 7 o'clock, you know, we put the precinct chair, gavels it to order. The precinct chair is someone that I sleep with. It is my wife. So she will be running.
Good, I wanted to make sure that's clear. Okay, good.
Well, let's hope we go to the right precinct.
Exactly.
We go to one with a guy named Earl. It's going to be an issue.
They're progressive over here.
And then once it's gaveled to order, that's when the speeches start. Every presidential campaign has the opportunity for one person to stand up and speak on their behalf.
Is there a time limit on the speech?
Normally it runs 3 to 5 minutes.
Does everybody send someone?
They don't. Usually it's the test of a well-organized campaign that has somebody stand up. Some bring in out-of-state surrogates, like we've seen with these Illinois state representatives and senators that are coming over for Rubio. You know, that is helpful, but often the best person to have stand up is someone that's a known commodity in that community. You know, the athletic director at the high school, the pastor of the church, the guy that sells insurance to everybody for generations.
Sure.
So that's where when you see that, I could still change my mind on caucus night. Who you have stand up on your behalf is more important than even what they say.
And you're a secret vote, so you could switch and nobody, your guy standing next to you is not going to know.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So right before they vote, after the speeches are done, a little slip of essentially scratch paper, blank scratch paper is handed out. You write a surname on the slip of paper. And in my precinct, at least last time, not making it up, red, white, and blue sequin shoebox was passed around the room.
Nice.
We dropped the ballot in there. I mean, how Norman Rockwell is that, man?
Nice.
You know, it's... And that's the process. And the votes.
We know how to fill those up.
Well, and here's the part you Illinois guys won't understand.
We're not going to bring in the slips pre-filled.
Exactly. Yeah, the votes are actually counted in front of everyone.
What?
So, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Right there in the room. They're counted in
you
front
gotta
of everyone.
You got to take those in the back in case you have to redo the whole thing.
Right.
The concern tonight is there was that weather would diminish turnout. It doesn't look like that's going to be an issue at all, but it does look like snow could hit the western part of the state. What is that going to do?
You know, probably very little, and that's what I've tried to explain to some of these East Coast reporters that are out here, that it, quite frankly, it isn't so much the snow, it's the wind.
Right.
And what the visibility is in driving in western and northwest Iowa, which that's an area of the state, if Ted Cruz is going to overperform his numbers and win the caucuses, he needs to squeeze every single vote out of conservative, anti-immigration reform, you know, just anti-establishment northwest Iowa.
Now, Chuck Todd was on earlier, and he thought that that would benefit him because his people, he's more well-organized and they're more motivated than...
More dedicated, but I still say if Grandma and Grandpa in particular or, you know, whoever is a little skittish about driving in blizzard conditions, that would knock you back. So common sense would say if that's an area he has to have and weather could tamp down the turnout, it would hurt him. But Chuck thought it would go the other way.
Yeah, which I thought was an interesting take. So
well, and his but if Cruz's demographic is the traditional Iowa caucus goer, which skews much more towards seniors, you know, I'd agree with Steve that I think that's how it would cut.
Yeah. What do we look for? We get these rolling totals now. What should we look for early?
Well, results, start looking for the first real results starting to come in between 8 and 8:30 Central. Between 8:30 and 9 is when real critical mass comes in.
Are there key precincts? Like, I assume yours is a big one.
If there's a big Rubio surge up in Ankeny where we are, which is more of a center-right establishment conservative suburb of Des Moines, will be an indicator of whether the Bush-Christie-Kasich vote all decides to throw in behind Rubio. Some of our border communities, you know, you go up and down the river, Clinton, Burlington, Quad Cities, places Trump has been lately. If there's a huge turnout in those communities, that means we're going to see this Trump surge probably across the state.
The Bernie and Hillary fight is interesting, and if kids actually turn out to vote, because I don't know if you heard, they're all getting free college. If kids actually turn out to vote, that could be a huge problem for Hillary. But there's a world of difference between, hey, I tweeted my friend about it, so I did something, and actually showing up. Do you have any sense of how many millennials and how many kids, specifically 21 to 25 year olds, are going to show up?
Well, especially with the students, you know, there's the unique challenge of the way the Democrats do their allocation. You know, it's not a one person, one vote like we have in the Republican Party.
Proportional.
So, yeah, so they're going to try and get these students to leave campus for the night and go back to their communities around the state. And when you know, here, that's where weather could come into play. And, you know, I think we were all college students once. I don't know how motivated I necessarily would have been to drive back home for a night, you know, to caucus. So I think it's a big question mark. Saw a lot of the Clinton senior leadership team in the state and nationally at the bar last night. So
that's,
I don't know if
said.
That's
that
a
was the buzz going around the campaign that the Little Rock's in town.
Yeah, and I think they're confident.
Hey, Steve and I want to whip up a Jell-O mold or a three bean salad or something. Can we bring something tonight? Or
you know what? In the true Lutheran, you know, tradition, we've got the potluck as well.
Oh, there's potluck.
Exactly.
Yeah, casserole to pass, that kind of thing.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I know you haven't slept much in the past bit of a while. Do you go through a depression tomorrow when everybody heads for New Hampshire?
Yeah, we see the entrails of the plane as it's leaving, while all these famous reporters forget our cell numbers for 3 years.
Before Anderson Cooper calls and goes, Matt, it's Coop. Remember
right.
me? But it's got to be a little bit of relief to get your state back.
You know, it is. I mean, it's, in all sincerity, it is an incredible privilege and opportunity we have that nobody else in the world, quite frankly, gets this opportunity. And you know, it'll be nice to get our communities back, our TV channels back, our radio stations back. I'll introduce myself to the three little people that live in my house again that
right.
I haven't seen for a few weeks. But it's just it's a pretty cool experience, and it's awesome you guys came over to be part of it.
Well, let's give him some credit. Matt was a heck of a state party chairman here. He had a tremendous run under his guidance.
There's no doubt about it. Yeah. And we were actually talking about making a couple of trades, you to Illinois for a couple of legislators to be named later. Nice to see you, man.
Always good to see you.
Thanks
buddy.
For the help. Appreciate it. We'll come back with more live from Des Moines. Steve Cochran, 720 WGN.
Hillary Clinton rallied supporters in Des Moines Sunday night. She walked into the packed gymnasium at Lincoln High School, just a few miles outside of the city center, and she had a big introduction.
Of all the people I've ever worked with, she is the single best at making everything she touches better. Every person she knows better.
Bill Clinton, of course, introducing his wife, Chelsea Clinton, took the stage as well. Hillary talked about everything from immigration to the economy to gun control. She and Bernie Sanders in a virtual dead heat ahead of tonight's caucuses, and she said every vote in this caucus counts.
We're at 90% coverage. I think, in fact, I know we can get to 100%. Senator Sanders has a different view, not a different goal. We have the same goal. We want to get to universal coverage. But he wants to start all over again. He wants to have another, I think, contentious debate.
She also said, she made it very clear she's not going to repeal Obamacare, and actually took a little bit of credit for being kind of the brains behind it, saying she proposed a similar bill, of course, when she was the first lady. They showed a video.
Remember how controversial that was when, first off, that President Clinton was going to put his wife in front. Shows you how much time has changed in 20 years. First off, that the president put his wife in front of, like, legitimate legislation.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, it didn't go anywhere in 1994, but yeah, that's probably fair.
They showed a video, actually, before she took the stage, before former President Clinton and Chelsea Clinton took the stage, and that was one of the highlights of the video. And I'm surprised that they used it because it was such a flop. And then she even referenced that in her speech, saying, you know what, it didn't work out the way she wanted it to, but this kind of laid the groundwork for Obamacare. As I said, Steve, hundreds of supporters packed into the Lincoln Gymnasium waving signs that read, hashtag I'm with her and HRC for president.
She knows what she's talking about. She does everything that I want her to do. She's my candidate.
Yeah, and that's half the fun of all this, just interviewing all the supporters for all of their different candidates.
Well,
they really get behind them. They dress up. And
talking to the candidates, you get the same schlock all the time, but you want to talk to the people because the people are the ones who are going to make the call.
So this was a great rally. We're going to hit a bunch of the caucuses tonight. So this is just the big story for this hour.
And one last thing on this. Today is about a trend. Today's not about picking a winner. Today's about campaign donations. Today's about momentum. going into New Hampshire. New Hampshire, frankly, is a bigger deal than this in relation to who eventually gets the nomination in either party. But none of this happens without Iowa, because the momentum you get coming out of Iowa, or the momentum that gets killed coming out of Iowa, really tell the story.
Actually, I should say, too, kind of an aside, I know people like the human interest stories. You did mention her granddaughter, who is here with her. She was back at the hotel. She referenced that. And when Chelsea introduced former President Clinton, she said, now here's Pop-Pop. So that's what Charlotte calls former President Clinton, Pop-Pop. Yeah. Okay, that's this hour's picks. You don't seem impressed.
Who am I to judge the Clintons as a family? They're very close.
That's this hour's big story. We are live in Iowa.
And, Steve, big story this hour. I am on the streets of Des Moines this morning, 4th and Locust, in front of a busy coffee shop. Now, the thing about the caucuses, it's all about the swag, meaning hats, scarves, headbands, wristbands, all kinds of unique items, I guess you could call them, with the candidates' names on them. So I ran into Mark Daniels from Springfield, Illinois. He's with me live now. And tell us what you are selling, Mark.
Hi, my name is Mark Daniels. I'm from Springfield, Illinois, the home of Abraham Lincoln. And I am marketing and selling candidate-specific yarmulkes in Republican red and in Democrat blue.
Now, how did you come up with that idea?
It was more or less an attention getter. It started with Donald Trump's divisiveness and hate mongering, and I was trying to think of a way to transform all this negativity into something positive and spiritual to bring the country together.
And ironically, you're sold out of the Trump yarmulkes.
Well, the best going yarmulkes are the Bernie Sanders, without a doubt. Second to the Hillary's, and then the Rubios are next.
Yeah, and we got you a couple of Rubios for you and Pat, Steve.
So. Oh, excellent.
What caught my eye is Mark is literally one big giant walking billboard. So I see, you know, these giant yarmulkes coming toward me in the middle of the street, and I said, I need to talk to this guy.
Could you ask him if he's Jewish?
Are you Jewish? Absolutely.
Okay, I didn't know you could hear me.
He can hear you. Okay, basically.
And I was going to ask you too, sir, if you could, have any of the candidates autographed any of these?
Yes. I have Jeb Bush that I'm wearing right now. I have Ben Carson. Donald Trump. I got a Donald Trump autograph, and I put it on the internet, and I sold him for $50. And that's about how much it's worth.
I love this guy. He can come on anytime.
He's great. He's great. And we want to just tell you about his website real quick, too, Steve. It's called weedouthate.org. And he went to a Hillary rally to give her a yarmulke, and she mentioned the website on the air.
Nice.
Or on her website, too. So, yeah, so this is just an example of anything you can buy down here in down in Des Moines. We'll put some pictures on our website, too, and you can check these out. But, so far, this is the most unique piece of swag that I have seen.
Yeah, and by the way, we've already got it up, and I'm looking at the Jeb Bush autographed yarmulke right now. All right, more from you coming up, right?
You got it live in Des Moines. That's the big story. I'm Andrea Darlis. Back to you, Steve.
And, Steve, I am at Java Joe's. This is the place to be for more than 20 years. Most of the candidates have stopped here for a latte or a cup of coffee or cappuccino, mainly just a hobnob with the people. Senator Joni Ernst was just here. Rand Paul, Rick Santorum, all passing through. Sarah Palin supposed to pass through as well this morning. It's a packed house here. And moments ago, Steve, I just spoke to Governor Kerry Branstad.
A lot of good things going on here. Des Moines is a surprising place, a lot of construction. The East Village is becoming really a neat place. I'm going to host the national governors here this summer, July 14th through the 17th, so come back.
I will be there. Thank you.
Governor also says a big hello to Orion Samuelson. I mentioned Steve Cochran. He said who? I mentioned Andrea Darlis. He said who? Just mentioned Big O, Steve, and we're in like Flynn here. It's such a great small-town feel, too. I actually met a producer from CBS who has been covering the caucuses for 25 years, who's friends with Tom Peterson, so I made him buy me a cup of coffee for that. But everybody outside just hustling and bustling. This man is born and raised in Des Moines, says he caucuses every year.
Well, we're first in the nation. And that, you know, I always told my students, you got a 100% chance of shaking hands with a candidate. If you live in Chicago or San Francisco, you're 1 in 400,000. It's amazing.
So again, Java Joe's here, the place to be. I'm told that the soup of the day is potato soup. They're open all day for lunch if you can get a table, because really it is packed here. And again, such a small town feel, and really a feel of excitement in the air here on the streets of Des Moines, Steve.
And they're doing Morning Joe there on MSNBC. Is that why the crowd is as big as it is?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's part of the reason, too. There's an area blocked off for that, but everybody else can just come in and have a cup of coffee. The other guy I actually sat next to at the community table said he's been coming here every morning for his morning coffee, every day since it opened more than 20 years ago.
He didn't have one of those autographed yarmulkes on, did he?
No, he didn't, but I still have the Marco Rubio one. Someone heard the report, and I'm getting emails now saying, get me a Trump, get me a Rubio. The Trump are sold out.
Yeah. By the way, Andrea is working. She can't just be buying autographed yarmulkes and bringing them back.
Right, exactly. I only have a limited amount of money to spend here.
Coming up, we're going to talk with Illinois State Senator Mike Connolly, who is doing his job for the Rubio campaign, to get a sense of how he feels Rubio is going to do today and tonight here in Iowa, and we'll come back with that. But why don't you do your big professional sign-off?
All right, live from the streets of Des Moines, we're at Java Joe's. I'm Andrea Narlis, and that's this hour's big story from the caucuses.
And Andrea, where are you now?
Thank you both. I'm actually, Dave Bennett would be very happy, very apropos that he has just introduced the big story. I'm at Sidebar at Walnut and Fifth, but no, this isn't a regular bar. This is a juice bar and a coffee bar. And you'd think things would be a little more subdued than they were at the Raucous Coffee House. Not so much, Steve. Actually, I stumbled upon a table of people. Caucusing hasn't officially started, but don't tell them that. They were going back and forth. One of the ladies stepped outside. I asked her who she's caucusing for, and she said Hillary Clinton.
Because she definitely has the experience. I like all of her stands on the issues. She's for early education. She's for making sure that we all have a fair and equal access to lots of different services. And I mostly think that her experience in foreign policy is something that we definitely need, given everything that's going on in the world today.
Where are you going to be caucusing?
I'm caucusing in Urbandale.
Urbandale, very big county also as well. We're going to be out and about at some of the caucuses. Dr. Ben Carson was here a little earlier, Steve, when we were all at the coffee house. He was at the juice bar here when it was a little calmer. And what I think is really unique, in addition to all these conversations that are going on, is that there are flat-screen TVs on all of the political stations, of course, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, and you have different people just standing there to watch. It's like we're watching the NCAA tournament or a sporting event that's going on. And when I'm watching some of these discussions take place at the tables or at the juice bar, I feel like I'm at the Board of Trade. You know, they're going back and forth. I'll trade you, you know, soybeans for corn and pork bellies for this. I'll give you two Ben Carsons for one of your Hillarys. But it's just really unique to watch, you know, everybody getting into it. And that's the best way to describe it, like a sporting event.
Yeah,
watching,
so
the big screen.
Do you think that the idea of a political bar as in the same vein as a sports bar would ever catch on?
Possibly, especially here in Iowa. I mean, they're very, very proud of being first in the nation. Everybody I talked to,
well, they should be.
Heard that over and over again.
They
should be, yeah.
Yeah, when Ben Carson walked in, did a lot of really calm groupies walk in behind him?
Well, I asked. I missed him when I got here. I said, has anybody been here? He said, oh, Ben Carson was here earlier this morning. But, it was, you know, again, this is very much, this seems more subdued than the coffee house until you get inside and everybody's talking about caucusing.
Yeah, and Ben Carson is sort of the Michelle Bachmann of 2016. You remember Michelle Bachmann was a story early, and then she
That's
didn't know
right.
which town John Wayne was from. She got that part
wrong.
Oh,
John Wayne Gacy, didn't she?
She may have at one point, yes.
All right.
And Carson was a hot deal in November, but through his own factual mistakes and that lack of enthusiasm, it's just not that cute anymore that he doesn't get excited.
No, you know what? What's really cool, I mean, it's a bright sunny day here in downtown Des Moines. It's a very small city square area, as we've been talking about. But it really is, it's just kind of a cool feeling of excitement in the air. Everybody wants to stop and talk. Of course, they want to talk about their candidate.
Yeah, but here's the thing about Andrea. She can find the best in everybody. That's why we like having her around.
You guys are sweet. Overwhelmingly, though, people I'm talking to, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders supporters, overwhelmingly. And I know this is, you know, more the Democratic portion of the state.
Yeah.
The Republicans, they're going to be on the west side. But we're going to be out caucusing tonight as well. So that'll be interesting to see. We'll get to live it firsthand.
Any sign of Trump's toupee anywhere?
No, but there was a motorcade that went by just a few seconds ago. I have to find out who that was. I don't think it was Trump.
Trump's hair gets one of those cars.
I knew that was coming, right?
Hey, there's a wind alert tonight, too. That could be really something.
Play nice.
Can you imagine?
Play nice.
Blow right down
I-80. Unbelievable. thank you, Andrea. Say goodbye.
You bet. Live in Des Moines, that's the big story. I'm Andrea Darlis. Back to you, Steve.